Democrat open borders plan to entrench single-party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. 1. Flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world. Enough to eclipse the populations of 36 individual U.S. states so far. 2. Prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizen, with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, and phones, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. 3. Keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder and rape. Attack the language used to describe the criminals, as opposed to the criminals themselves. Slander critics as racist. 4. Ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as population magnets. Codify permanent status and ensure non-cooperation with ICE. 5. Count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts, a tremendous amount of electoral power. 6. Wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots, no signature verification, and no proof of citizenship requirements, making it nearly impossible to prove voter fraud. 7. Lock in the permanent voting majority with campaign promises of lavish benefits and permanent privileges, enshrining generational fealty to the Democrat Party. 8. Win elections. 9. Entrenched single-party rule has been achieved. The best part? Your tax dollars are paying for it.
What is up, LFA TV? We are coming at you live from America. This is Matter of Fact, and as a matter of fact, that intro was made by our man, Western Lensman. Want to give that big man, a big shout out for his work, and we are going to get into all things Hunter Biden. We're going to get into a lot of what's going on with Trump right now. Probably the most important trial in all of American history, the most corrupt trial in all of American history. Top that off with Hunter Biden's stripper baby mama to publish a tell-all memoir during the Democrat National Convention. Folks, we are going to be there. Maybe we will report live from the DNC on this memoir. Maybe we will doorstop. Maybe we'll lure some politicians while we're down there in Chicago. What do you say, folks? Do me a solid. Smash that like button while you guys are just joining us today. We're going to kick things off. Let's start with the deranged left. And this is by the redheaded libertarian. She says, "Don't threaten me with a good time." This was a reply to the Blaze Rep. Anya Presley, Project 2025 is a far-right manifesto of extremism policies that would uproot every government agency if enacted. Project 2025 would destroy the federal government as we know it. Don't threaten me with a good time. I couldn't have said it better. Check this out.
And we must sound the alarm. Project 2025 is a far-right manifesto. It is a 1,000-page bucket list of extremist policies that would uproot every government agency and disrupt the lives of every person who calls this country home. I won't detail every aspect, but I'll share some highlights. The Department of Education would be eliminated, cutting students off from civil rights protections and ending essential Title I funding for K-12 schools. The Department of Justice would go on a murdering spree. It would rush to use the death penalty and expand its use to even more people while circumventing due process protections. Project 25 not only calls for national book bans in schools, but also creates a list of banned words for the federal government that would be deleted from, quote, every federal rule, agency regulation, contract, grant, and piece of legislation that exists.
Amen.
Here are just a few of the words on the list: diversity, gender, bingo, reproductive health, and of course, conservatives want to ban the word abortion. On that note, abortion care would be inaccessible and illegal no matter where you live. Take it from them. On page 6 of its playbook, Project 2025 states, quote, "The Dobbs decision is just the beginning," end quote. People even in my district, the Massachusetts 7th, the leader in Repro Justice, would be criminalized for pursuing essential health care. Now, we could have an entire hearing on how these policies would quite literally ruin and end lives, and I didn't even touch upon proposals for housing, climate change, worker protections, and more. If enacted, Project 2025 would destroy the federal government as we know it.
All right. Yeah. What do you think, folks? That sounds like the best marketing campaign I've ever heard for Project 2025. What do you guys think? Good to see everybody over here. Dover in the chat. ZBM. Mark Ross. Macross, if I'm saying that right. 2012. R-Star. Beer for Man. Hazel Kitty. I see you. Iris. Sophie. Good to see you. Patriot Johnson in the house. Dawn Holloway. Good to see you. Mindy Patriot Angel. I see you. Welcome to the party. Colty 86 here. Here he is. Colty 86 is here. Good to see you, my friend. P Year, what is up? Tommy, good to see you, man. We've got a whole packed house already. It's only 206. Check this out. More derangement coming from Chicago. Here we go again, America. Breaking news. We just got this from Terry Newsom. He said, get this shit. Due to illegals, Chicago shut down their rental assistance program. We say this is treason, America. They just got $53 billion. The state of Illinois just got $53 billion applying for rental assistance program, the RAP, R-A-P. Thank you for your interest in the DFSS, rental assistance program. Due to a volume of applications received and the limited funding available, the RAP portal will be closed on March 28th until further notice. We will reopen once funding becomes available. Please check again regularly. Illinois Senate passes $51.3 billion budget with tax hikes, boosts lawmaker salaries. So the politicians in the state of Illinois just gave themselves a $51.3 billion budget. $53.1 billion for the lawmakers. Almost unbelievable, isn't it? But guess what? They got their raises. And the citizens of Chicago who need rental assistance because they can't afford to live when they're getting crushed by this Democratic government. You peasants starve on the streets. We got our $53.1 billion and we got our raises. We know you're struggling, but guess what? We just raised your taxes by $750 million. Suck it. That's what the politicians are literally telling you, America. They're telling you, fuck off. We are going to steal your money. You're going to pay us our taxes. You're going to pay us whatever we tell you to pay us in taxes. We're going to bankrupt you. And when we drive you into poverty, we're going to foreclose your house. We're going to take it over because you owe us back taxes. This is tyranny, folks. We don't have kings and queens in our country. You are not these people's servants. Maybe they need a reminder of that. Drop some comments below. Let me know what you think. What do you think, folks? Do they need a reminder? Drop those comments in the live chat. Check out this. Was it a terrorist attack? Was it a planned explosion? I went off the rails yesterday, but if you didn't see this, Chase Bank got blown up yesterday. It was obviously just another gas explosion. I haven't heard much about it, so probably more to this story. All right, updated information. They're claiming it is an explosion, a gas explosion. We'll take a look at how this operation is set up. I'm going to show you this video here really quick. See all this rope? This area is blocked off. People trapped underneath the rubble? That's what they're trying to tell you, folks. Do you actually think that this is real? You think this is legit? The FBI, the CIA, we see you. Citizens are freaking getting blown up in buildings because of our government. Are you fucking fed up with this shit yet, America? Watch this. Again, this is a Chase Bank building. Explodes in downtown Youngstown, Ohio. People are missing under the rubble. Let me run that back one more time for you guys. Here we go again. Are you kidding me?
Why is it all blocked off?
Let me tell you right now. The citizens of Ohio, right? This has just happened today. Before we get into these other, you want to see a migrants pissing? You want to see migrants choking people out? We're going to get into that. Stay tuned. Check out this scumbaggery that just happened here today. This is treason, America. These are traitors. These are enemies of our country, and they are being protected by the deep state, the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ. Illinois Senate passes a $53.1 billion budget that includes $750 million worth of tax hikes so that they can give themselves a raise. Yeah, that's right. You heard that right. In Illinois, they have what's called the supermajority, so they don't even have to take bills to the floor to vote. They just voted to raise your taxes as the citizens so that they can give themselves pay raises. Now, let me show you the caliber of scumbags that they are importing into this country. Migrants in France find creative ways to entertain themselves. They choke and humiliate French kids for amusement. The government subsidizes these migrants to ensure they have enough free time to cause trouble. Check this out. Let's run that back. So check this out right here. These are these frickin' heathens, these scumbag little rotten bastards that think it's amusing to chase around and hunt down white kids and choke them. But no, this isn't a hate crime. God forbid, they'll put a felony arrest warrant out for you if you do some burnouts. You do a burnout on a pride flag, they're going to hunt you down like you're freaking John Dillinger, Al Capone.
Police are searching for the driver caught doing donuts, damaging the Progressive Pride street mural.
Just after 2:40 Wednesday morning, a vehicle is caught on a security camera doing donuts, damaging a Pride mural on Central Avenue in St. Peter.
Felony manhunt for the person doing a burnout on a Pride memorial, but has anybody found Lake and Riley's killer yet? Did we ever get that man? I'm not sure on that one. How about the other people that were raped and murdered in America by these illegal immigrants that your government's importing into your country? These are sick people, but you know who's not sick? Our man, Ben Burquam, out here lumering some people. Check this out. I mean, therefore I am, said LAMFO. Ben Burquam, did you steal Trump's haircut?
Joey, just wondering, do you think people with Trump derangement syndrome know they have it?
You're an idiot.
And second question, did you steal Trump's haircut or did he steal yours? Cultural appropriation haircut right there. She didn't like that too much. Joy Reid, everybody. Trump derangement syndrome. Full swing.
Full swing. TDS. Ben is awesome. Ben's out there putting it in the work, man. I love that guy. Check this out. So Todd Bensman said another bad apple removed by lucky happenstance from America's largest colonial of 75,000 mostly illegal immigrants. The infamous Colonial Ridge, brought to you by Greg Abbott in Eastern Texas. And then this is where they hunted down that fugitive. But I want to play this clip really quick for you as well. This is from Fox News.
Joining us now for more on this, former acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf. Chad, great to have you here. You know, this struck me in the White House press briefing room this week. This was an exchange with our own Jackie Heinrich and President Biden's press secretary, KJP. This was an exchange Wednesday about why isn't Biden taking unilateral action at the border? Listen.
The president has the authority to do something about this unilaterally. Congress is in a divided government right now. Why isn't he doing anything?
Well, why should he have to do it unilaterally? Why should we do it in a legislative way? You're right, he took many executive actions before. But in order to deal with what's happening at the border, in order to deal with a broken immigration system, you need law.
Well, Chad, I see you shaking your head as you listen to that. What were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the press secretary is just out to lunch. She has absolutely no idea what she's talking about. It's clear that the Biden administration took executive actions early on in the administration. They have the ability to take more executive actions to reverse that and to address the crisis at the border. So when she says, why should he have to do it alone? That's his job as president, is to actually solve problems and use his authority.
Don't you love how they're blocking out the migrants' face?
Over a number of years.
I can't even listen to these clowns over here on Fox News. You see that they're blocking out their face? Like whose identity exactly is it? Who? I didn't know the illegal immigrants that broke into America have rights, that their identity should be hid. So what? So we can't track them down? So that people can't use facial recognition software and analyze and go, oh yeah, you know that ad, that TV commercial or whatever they were just showing on Fox News right there? Yeah, those are people on the terrorist watch list, obviously. This is like the most pathetic. They call this news. This is what presents itself as news. No, Fox, this is what you call news. Confidential human source down at the border, exclusive content, first time seen here on LFA TV. Smash that like button.
So are the majority of your arrests are they just crossing the border and squatting?
99.9% of the stuff we're catching right now along the fence line, is all neighbors. They just cut the fence and come through, or they cross borders down the fence, and they just find the first agent, and they give up. We actually have staging areas, Whiskey and Spooners. There'll be a staging area where we send them to, and then they walk and get to those places, and there's they just wait there until the next shift, and then they're intaked and moved around.
What's the longest they sit out there?
Obviously, the Border Patrol gets efficient over time, right?
Right.
A year ago, they were waiting 3 or 4 days. Right now, they're waiting 8 hours minimum, maybe less. Because we're getting, the Border Patrol figures out a way to be efficient, right?
Yep.
And so we're getting efficient at moving people into the country. We're very good at it now. A year ago, not so good. A year before that, even longer. But then, you know, there was all these lawsuits that happened. And so what do? They shift manpower in order to be more efficient at whatever it is they think we're doing wrong. And what we were doing wrong was not moving people into the country fast enough.
So we have become, we have expedited and become a very efficient.
We are becoming illegal. We have become the biggest human smuggling organization on the planet.
You hear that, America?
The Border Patrol has become the back end, the final stage of smuggling. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, because of what they're applying for, which we know most of this is economic refugees, right, which don't exist under Title 8. So therefore, they just make a claim, and we process them and send them on for them to have a court date 4, 6, 7 years out. And you know no judge, if they have minimal criminal, they're here with the family, they've been working, no judge is going to individually deport them. So it's the biggest amnesty, one person at a time in history. Yep. So you don't need a blanket amnesty, because you're going to get it one at a time in every courtroom across the nation. And then there'll be some new crisis, and they'll push those dockets out, and they'll push those dockets out. And I've seen more children in this administration than I did in the 8 years during the Obama administration.
How about that, folks? How about that? That's what you call news. That's our undercover sources that are very, very high up there. I don't even want to say the organization or department, but they're very high up. They're government employees, and they're giving us information telling us that the United States government is the largest human trafficking organization in the world. And he's explaining exactly how the operation's running. That's what you call news. And Fox News has billions of dollars of resources, and we're over here with a shoestring budget running this on gives and goes and bootstrapping these documentaries ourselves and breaking more stories over here on LFA TV in the last, I don't know, month than Fox News has, I don't know, in the last year. These people are pathetic. Absolute trash. That's why you should stop watching Fox News. But check this out. History Unfolds says Charles R. Downs. Charles R. Downs over on X goes by at the Charles R. Downs. He's doing a lot of work with Laura Loomer. He's off the hook. He said, history unfolds as President Trump arrives at court for jury instructions. Joe Biden's election interference will be remembered as a dark time in American history. Check this out. Because we've got Trump's motorcade, and I want to kind of walk through this because we've got a bunch of videos that are coming out. You can hear people shouting, we love Trump. We love Trump. People are lined up for miles and miles all throughout New York. So up next, we got the Alina Haba herself over here. She says, prosecution took 5 hours with no crime named, no evidence given. It's all noise and shiny balls. They got no facts. Check this out.
So closing arguments are done, and we still don't know what the crime of the trial of the century is. Even CNN says Bragg fell short.
You think, after listening to all of this, you think they fell short? How?
They fell way short, because let's start with reasonable doubt. There is reasonable doubt all over this case. Where is Keith Schiller? Where is Alan Weisselberg? How did Michael Cohen get away with stealing $30,000? Hold a pity party for him. Made $4 million on this. Thought he'd be chief of staff. He's a fixer. Stormy Daniels. Let's hold a pity party for her. It's everywhere.
Trump legal spokesperson Alina Haba joins me now. Alina, so you were there. Closing arguments. Todd Blanche, Trump's defense counsel, went first. And then I guess the prosecution, what, did 5 hours?
Right. That's what you have to do when you haven't proven your case in trial. You plan that you have this great big break, and then you come up and you say, oh, guess what? I get to go do an argument, and in my entire argument, guess what, everybody? They don't get to rebut anything I say. So they took 4 hours to tell their story. I actually had to leave. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was insane.
Probably need a bathroom break. It's a very, very long closer.
Yeah, but
what was the point? Did they have a crime at the end of this?
No.
No, still they haven't named the crime.
They could not give us any evidence. It was a lot of noise, and that's what we keep seeing, Jesse. There was not one bit of evidence.
Man, it's so hard to even watch the regular media now. It's like, dude, like, have a conversation, let her talk, you cut her off, you direct her in the exact area you want so you get your 2 second sound bite that you want so you can put your clips out over on Twitter. It's a shame, but it's never a shame to watch the left melt down. So N Wokeness said, this is insane. New York judge Merchant just told jurors that they do not have to have unanimously agree on what crime Trump is guilty of. It could be 4-4-4 split, and it looks like Trump's going to prison. Check this out.
Well, let me ask you about the three choices. And one thing in particular that this judge said that these jurors could do. He just delivered what is being called really the pinnacle of all of this. He said that there is no need to agree on what has occurred. They can disagree on what the crime was among the three choices. Thus, this means that they could split 4-4-4 and the judge would still treat them unanimously. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, it's really outrageous because in a normal criminal case, every statutory crime has what we call elements of the offense. Like in a bank robbery case, it's, you know, you have to rob. It's got to be a financial institution. You have to show intent. Those are the things the jury has to agree on unanimously that they were proved beyond a reasonable doubt. Here, what we're doing is taking the element that actually makes this a felony. Because remember, falsification of records is normally a misdemeanor in New York. What makes it a felony is that you're concealing or committing another crime. And here, the judge is telling them they don't have to agree about what the other crime is under circumstances where that not only is what makes this a felony, what makes it a 4-year potential prison penalty rather than a year or less, but it's also what gets us into the courtroom. Because if this had been a misdemeanor, the time to bring this case would have lapsed in 2019. So the only reason they're still able to bring this case is because it's a felony, allegedly. And yet now the judge is saying, you know, you don't have to agree on what the felony is.
You don't have to agree on what the felony is. Can you believe this? Folks, we got almost 1,000 people watching. Do me a huge favor. Smash that like button. Let's see if we can fill this stream up. I'm going to show you guys some. You remember the Oklahoma City bombing? And you guys remember 9/11 where they made that 4-minute little sizzle reel where it's like a dude with a laptop in his basement carried out the most technical terrorist attack and able to bring down a building that would take, you know, X amount of pounds of TNT. And they did it with two planes that blah, blah. They were just naming all the facts. Well, I got one. I found one on Timothy McVeigh. So if you guys haven't seen the whole, the truth behind the Oklahoma City bombing and the second bomber and all this other stuff, just wait, you're in for a treat. But before we do that, I want to let you hear from President Trump really quick. And then we're going to get into a video about retards. It's going to be fun. I promise. Stick around. Check this out. Charles R. Down says, Trump says that due to Judge Merkin's gag order, he is not allowed to discuss the Biden DOJ's role in his New York trial. Considering that Biden's campaign pays Murchin's daughter, it makes sense that Judge Merkin is not allowing Trump to discuss Biden's role in the case. This is so, like, if they put Trump into jail, it's going down, folks.
Not allowed to talk about it because I have a gag order. Far worse than that, by 1,000 times worse than that. The worst I've ever heard, but I can't talk about it. It'll be talked about, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. But it'll be talked about in the history books. What's happening here is weaponization at a level that nobody's seen before, ever. And it shouldn't be allowed to happen. So I'll stay around here. This is 5 weeks. And 5 weeks of really essentially not campaigning, although I took a big lead in the polls over the last few weeks. Something's going on. Because I think the people of this country see that this is a rigged deal. It's a weaponized deal for the Democrats to hit their political opponent. For Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, he's destroying our country. He's letting millions of people from jails, from prisons, from insane asylums.
Yes, he sure is, folks. Yes, he sure is. That's insane. That's exactly what he's doing. You know who else had something to say about it? And it wasn't Robert De Niro. Scott Libido says, unveiling the Robert De Niro portrait. Crybaby, he says. This is what he's calling it. Check this out.
I said I'm filming for Scott, so I can't move.
In response to
Robert De Niro's
insanity speech yesterday. How this man said that Donald Trump and us are ruining democracy. Meanwhile, everything that's happening in that courtroom is exactly what he said yesterday, but for the other side. This is a travesty. This is unconstitutional. This is this is ruining democracy.
Yes, yes.
So in response to Mr. De Niro, I give you my latest masterpiece.
What's
called Crybaby. Go, Citizen Scott. Go, Citizen Scott.
Oh, hey, hey, ho, ho. Robert De Niro has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Robert De Niro has got to go. Hey, hey.
That's awesome. Let's go. How awesome is that, folks? De Niro got destroyed yesterday. They had him coming and going. You know what? He might fall into the retard category. You guys tell me what you think. This is another one by MAGA Devil Dog over on X. And he tagged, It's Really Leah. And he says, here's an educational video I stumbled across from 1964. It explains the Democrat Party quite accurately. Enjoy this, folks. It's for you guys.
Usually, the mentally retarded are divided into classifications. The educable, the trainable, and the custodial. Obviously, we can only assess the abilities or potential of the mentally retarded on an individual basis. Seemingly random motions and movements are fairly common among the custodial retarded, and they may take many forms. Sometimes there are motions which seem to have no meaning whatever, and may even cause unintentional self-inflicted injuries. The vast majority of the mentally retarded are intelligent enough that they can be taught a great many things. However, there's a wide range of ability, even among those considered educable. And their ability to learn obviously varies according to their level of intelligence. Equally important is a stimulating environment. However, we must remember to set realistic standards that are not too high for the individual. Many of the trainable retarded can learn to take certain kinds of household responsibilities, some of which may be more complex than they are usually given credit for. It would be wrong to expect a mentally retarded person to become a master craftsman. The standards are too high. But even in the skilled trades, for example, the mentally retarded can be trained to become valuable assistants. Who are the mentally retarded? They are people. They come in both sexes and in all sizes, shapes, creeds, and colors. Wherever people live, there also live the mentally retarded.
Big shout out to the Dilly V meme team. I was watching that today, and I was like, I got to play this on LFA TV. That's so good. That's so good. That was second best to the Parasite one. I don't know if you guys have seen the one where like they made a National Geographic one of the National Geographic channel, and they were talking about how parasites infect their host, and it was like an overview of everybody in Congress and all the members of Congress down there, and it was explaining how they were parasites. Oh, that was a good one. That was a really good one, actually. Let's give a big shout out to the MAGA Patriot of the Day Award going to our buddy over here, Ultra MAGA Max, folks. If you guys aren't following Ultra MAGA Max, he calls it the big lie, and he goes by at Max Evans UMP. Check this one out.
Ruby Freeman. Inspired by the voting rights legacy of her beloved Atlanta, Lady Ruby Freeman viewed her civic duty as a Fulton County election worker as a sacred mission to ensure the people of Georgia could exercise their fundamental right to vote freely and fairly. In the 2020 election, she upheld that sacred mission despite an orchestrated campaign to overturn the election. And today, we the people honor Lady Ruby Freeman as part of our nation's voting rights history. Wandrea Arshe Moss. Inspired by the stories her mother told her about the movement for voting rights in America, Shea Moss pursued a career as an election worker in Fulton County, Georgia. She faced death threats and intimidation by those seeking to overturn the outcome of the 2020 election. Today, we the people honor Shay Moss for helping to ensure the American people have a voice in the destiny of our nation.
They're part of the big lie. The big lie. I was being reminded by a friend of mine. We were told that, you know, Goebbels and the great lie. You keep repeating the lie, repeating the lie. It's the big lie. There are decent people out there who actually believe these lies. So tell me what. Well, I just know there was. They say it is. They say it is. This is a human condition. You say it and say it and say it and say it. Some of the more prominent Republicans are as responsible in terms of people believing the lies as, not as responsible, but similarly responsible like Trump.
Folks, that is our boy Ultra Mega Max, and he makes absolutely fantastic videos. That was just one of many he has over on his profile. If you guys are not following that man, I strongly, strongly suggest it. The next person I strongly suggest to follow is our man, Mike Ben. So he's got a little bit of alpha over here for us. So he checks this out. He says, the Biden family's blob lineage and the backdrop to Hunter Biden's tango dances through a dazzling array in a process CIA operation in Ukraine with Patel Patriot. Check this out.
And Hunter Biden is kind of like the Forrest Gump of CIA world. And I can get into the specifics on that for a second, but maybe it's useful to sort of trace the pedigree first.
Yeah.
So keep in mind that, you know, Hunter Biden's CIA connections don't just come out of the blue from Hunter. You know, Joe Biden himself, you know, has a very interesting pedigree in the blob world. And again, the blob is the State Department, the Defense Department, and the CIA. It's the foreign policy establishment, but those are the three main sort of agencies that do the blob work internally. And then there's the sort of external stakeholders in the corporate and financial world. But, you know, Joe Biden was on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee for 30 years. Three decades. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee is the Senate oversight of the State Department. Now, every time you see the word State Department, two words should immediately come to mind every single time. Every single time, zero exceptions whatsoever. Every time you hear the word State Department, you should think, okay, State Department, CIA, Pentagon, okay? Everything the State Department does, everything. They can't take a shit in their own, you know, in their own toilet without, again, interagency approval that extends into the Pentagon and the CIA. And it's the same thing in reverse. Pentagon, you know, it's almost this interagency. So Joe Biden is the Senate oversight of the State Department. The State Department, the overt side of our diplomacy, has to know what our covert side of diplomacy is doing. Has to be synchronized with the CIA and has to be synchronized with the Pentagon. So if you're on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, you are working with CIA. Okay, you are working with these are the classified documents. I mean, there's not classified documents at HUD, you know, Housing and Urban Development. You're not going to see classified documents in the Department of Labor, you know, or the Department of Agriculture. When you see classified material, it's because it relates to our foreign policy establishment. It's the whole reason that we have, you know, documents that you as a citizen can't see. It's because it relates to our international, you know, affairs and our international security. So, you know, Joe Biden was not just on that committee for 30 years. And by the way, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations dubbed him in the early 90s, Mr. Foreign Policy. And this was a blob monster since, you know, the day he declared himself a prostitute. I mean, he literally did. I don't know if you've seen this clip, but, you know, where he bragged, you know, jokingly, but he called himself a prostitute because he was the poorest guy in the Senate who, you know, would do anything for anyone, essentially. Yeah. That's what he didn't say that last part. It was heavily implied because he called himself a prostitute. Now, given that his name was Mr. Foreign Policy, who was he prostituting for? Well, he was the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the right-hand man of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, he spent 10 of those 30 years as chairman or as ranking member, you know, when the Democrats weren't the majority party under Bush. So this is the number one guy on the Senate oversight of the State Department, which intermediates with the CIA. You know, it was Joe Biden himself who blocked Jimmy Carter's CIA director. That was in 1978 or something. 77, 78. That's how far back Joe Biden's, you know, CIA role goes. You know, because remember, he spent 30 years there and then 8 years as vice president. And what was he doing as vice president? He was in control of the Ukraine portfolio under Obama, which was the hotbed of CIA activity. That was the number one CIA zone. You know, we talk about, you know, it's come out declassified that the biggest operation in CIA history was Operation, you know, Timber Sycamore in Syria. It was over $1 billion. Let me tell you something. The CIA spent way more than a fucking $1 billion in Ukraine.
Woo! This story is getting good, folks, and that's time to tee it up. Let's do it. Let's go down the Hunter Biden's baby mama stripper rabbit hole. What do you guys say? Smash that like button for us. If you could, if you haven't, swing down there and make sure that thumbs up button turns green, please and thank you. London Roberts, the mother of Hunter Biden's illegitimate child, is planning to publish a tell-all memoir, folks, a tell-all memoir about her experiences with Joe Biden's youngest son. According to Skyhorse Publishing, Roberts will publish the Brave and Honest memoir on August 20th, the same week as the Democrat National Committee will be held. Ooh, this is going to be awesome. Skyhorse description states, he was sitting there wearing nothing but parrot boxer briefs, organizing his pipes on his Rosemont Seneca desk. I was sitting in Barack Obama's actual chair from the Senate floor. I took another look at Hunter, this kind, intense and starlightling, transparent man, and thought, this is definitely a guy I want to get to know better. That was the first time London Roberts met Hunter Biden. She had moved to D.C. from Arkansas in an impulsive decision to apply for a grad program. Hunter radiated the live for the moment energy she sought. What followed from the first meeting was a wild journey that would come to define London's young life in ways she never thought or never anticipated. Out of the Shadow Chronicles, the roller coaster ride of relationships, touching on the drug cook working in Rosemont Seneca's kitchen, strip clubs where Hunter might try the pole himself, protecting him from would-be terrorists in New York City, the night she grabbed two guns and was certain she would have to fatally shoot a crazy MMA fighter, and dozens of other stories that would make the laptop debacle seem routine. London is finally ready to step into the light and tell her story. In her Brave and Honest memoir, she recounts the chaos, the broken trust, and ultimately the incredible love she found mothering and protecting the long unacknowledged grandchild of the sitting president of the United States. It is unclear whether Roberts is publishing the memoir in an effort to harm Hunter and his father's chances of re-election. In an op-ed for the Daily Mail last year, Roberts criticized those making hurtful comments about Hunter and expressing fear over when her daughter will find out about his many transgressions. And that was an exclusive. They have the little a post over here about it. And he says, when their child was born in late 2018, Hunter denied that he was the father and eventually was forced to take a DNA test to confirm true parentage. Now, Biden eventually agreed to pay a whopping $20,000 per month in child support to Roberts, who is a former employee at the Rosemont Seneca consulting firm, although he has since lowered these payments as an account of a reported decline in income. So Hunter Biden had to lower his baby mama's child support payments. You guys can't make this up. It's like a reality show. I swear every day we come on here, it's just like the clown world can't get enough. Really, they literally can't. And now the left's even melting down. Check this out. So Chuck just tweeted out, he says, shocked reporters, CNN legal experts find jury instructions abnormal. When the mouthpiece of the Dem party has significant problems with the case at hand, people should pay more closer attention. Check this out.
The jury must be overwhelmed. I mean, to have all of these instructions just read to them without them getting a copy is going to be overwhelming for them. And also, it's crazy that the lawyers were not able to discuss the instructions in their closings yesterday. Typically, lawyers can go through the instructions and explain why they've met them or why the government hasn't met them. And they weren't able to do that yesterday, which I find bizarre. I think the lawyer should have been able to do that, because the jurors right now must be wondering, what is this all about?
Yeah.
Folks, let me let you in on our first sponsors today. Don't go anywhere and smash that like button. Folks, our first sponsor is AmmoSquared.com. AmmoSquared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. You grow your ammo slowly over time. It's stored for free while it builds up, and it ships to wherever you are, anywhere you want it, and it does so within 1 to 2 business days. AmmoSquared was started in 2015 and currently has over 30,000 customers across the country. It's truly automated, set it and forget it, ammo purchasing. Pick your caliber, set your budget, select your shipping triggers, and that's it. Ammo builds up slowly over time, and it's delivered automatically whenever you want it. It's a very budget-friendly way to build up and stockpile your ammo. It's customizable. Buy as little as a few dollars a month, or use it to dollar cost average to your advantage. Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out those rough spots when ammunition availability get scarce on the shelves. So use this like an ammo, like a 401k for your ammo. You can scroll down the website. You can see all the different calibers that they have. You just pick your caliber, choose your budget, and you DCA into it $50 a month. And the cool part is when you hit $250, it is free shipping, and they'll ship it to wherever you are in the United States. Again, that is AmmoSquared.com. And up next, folks, is Done With Debt. Done With Debt are brilliant debt relief strategists, and they call these things debt traps. Because in the debt traps that you're caught in, they're definitely not your fault. Why? Well, because you didn't set gas prices, you didn't jack up credit cards rates, and you sure as heck didn't cause Biden inflation. But check this out. The brilliant debt relief strategist at donewithdebt.com, they'll stand between you and your bill collectors. They'll negotiate a plan to get you out of debt permanently. And here's the key, without bankruptcy and without taking out any additional loans. But listen, some of these debt strategists or strategies are time sensitive, so you need to contact Done With Debt like now. Do it today. This couldn't be easier, folks. Get a free consultation and share what you're dealing with, and they'll explain a strategy to erase your debt faster than you ever thought possible. Go to donewithdebt.com, folks. That is donewithdebt.com. And if you get time, swing down to the LFA merch store. We got hats, hoodies, t-shirts, and that legendary Rise Up roasted pecan coffee. It's the best way to start your day. Get a cup of Joe, cup of Rise Up, and then come join Jeremy on Rise Up at 9 a.m. over here on LFA TV. There's no better way to start your day with a fresh cup of Joe. And with the big guy saying your prayers and letting him know how grateful you are for everything that we have in this country. And if you guys want to support us over here at Matter of Fact, you can go to mypillow.com and use my promo code MATTA. I saw somebody used it for the first time. God bless you guys. Greatly appreciate that. You get 50 to 65% off everything at mypillow.com/MATTA. And if you guys want to stack some Bitcoin, you guys can use my crypto affiliate links. They're down below in the description. Depending on how much you deposit will depend on how much free Bitcoin you get. And Bybit, if you're not in the US, is the best exchange to use. So, and we are back. Folks, you guys ready? We're just getting started over here on LFA. Let's jump over here to the live chat and say what up to everybody. Jay Mitchell in the house. The one I am. R Star, I see you. Good to see everybody. We got Brian in the chat too. Bad Moon, good to see you. Wendy, I can't ever get enough. Sassy Lady says, aw, Star, are you getting thunderstorms? Oh, somebody's got some bad weather out there. That's the worst. Joe says, they put Trump in jail. All 80 million supported should empty their bank accounts and 401ks and crash the market. Now you're talking, brother. Well, that would mean that you would have to have money in your 401k and your bank account in the first place. I don't know anybody. Well, I do know quite a few people who do, but I sure as hell don't. Why? Because I put it all into Bitcoin a very long time ago, my friend, and it was the best decision I've ever made in my life. Honestly, the only reason I'm not homeless right now, the only reason I was able to build this studio, the only reason I have a pot to piss in is because of Bitcoin. I would be absolutely broke and bankrupt if it wasn't for Bitcoin. So that's it, folks. That's it. The only thing that sucks about Bitcoin is I don't sell my Bitcoin, right? So like once my money goes into Bitcoin, she gone. She gone. She's staying in Bitcoin. So I live as fiat poor as possible. And I suggest that the rest of you do the same. Pay off your debt, get out of debt, live completely debt free, and just stack Bitcoin and wait, folks. You have President Trump telling you that he is going to make America the Bitcoin capital of the world. So I don't know if people can really process or comprehend what that means. The Bitcoin capital of the world. So you have an asset right here that once you get one country, and he talked about it on Tim Pool's podcast. So Trump talked about using Bitcoin to get the United States out of the $35 trillion in debt that we're in. So you hear people like Michael Saylor saying, whatever country prints dollars first to buy Bitcoin wins. It's game over after that because you're going to immediately force the hand of every other central bank in the world. So the United States right now has about 220,000 Bitcoin worth around $5 or $6 billion. So let me just say this. Bitcoin is $70,000 right now. If somebody starts to print, if one Federal Reserve starts to print, they're all going to have to print, right? But we just watched BlackRock buy, I think it was like 220,000 Bitcoin or 250,000 Bitcoin in the last like 6 months. And Bitcoin went from roughly 16,000 up to 70,000. Let's just put some basic numbers out there. 16 to 17,000, BlackRock acquired 220,000. So if we see the United States Federal Reserve on the low starts buying up Bitcoin, right? It'll probably take the price of Bitcoin to about 125,000, if I had to take a best guess, before people started to realize what was going on. But if the United States can acquire 350,000 Bitcoin, and then they announce to the world that they are printing dollars, which is going to cause dollars to hyperinflate, right? But our dollars are already in Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes up to $100 million. When Bitcoin hits $100 million, if the United States government can acquire 350,000 Bitcoin, the entire national debt would be paid off. Let that sink in. So you're gonna see this in the thought process is, if you can't control the world's currency, you sure as hell don't want your enemies controlling it. So we're at a point where the United States has two options. We can adopt Bitcoin and make and force every other country around the world to at the very least back their currency with Bitcoin, or make Bitcoin the global reserve currency. Because if we don't, it's China. And we're going to have a Chinese CBDC very soon crammed down our throat. So I know I don't want that. I know you don't want that. I know none of us want that. So that being said, keep stacking Bitcoin, because if you're long on Trump, right, and this man's telling you that he is going to make America the Bitcoin capital of the world, you don't doubt him. It's promises made, promises kept. So if you plan on Trump being our president and you are not stacking Bitcoin, you are absolutely doing a major disservice to yourself. Probably will be the biggest regret that you have, outside of maybe getting vaccinated or complying with some of these lockdowns or whatever the other regrets that you have are. But we got a big super chat coming in here from Patty. Patty Vest says, good, or for your good work, Patty, God bless you. That's $50. You guys work very hard for that money, and I greatly appreciate that more than you could ever imagine. God bless each and every one of you guys. That means the world to us over here. So thank you guys. And I'm telling you, you guys want to change the life of your family forever, start stacking Bitcoin. Because we either don't have a country, right? And if we don't, if Trump doesn't win and they rig the election, they're collapsing the markets. The dollar's hyperinflating. There's no way that this administration can stop the hemorrhaging that's coming from the collapse of the US dollar. So geez, oh, Pete's guys, it won't fast track a CBDC, guys. Bitcoin's been here for 15 years. There's already putting laws in. The United States isn't getting a central bank digital currency. Nobody's running the, no, it's not. Don't let that thought process destroy this opportunity for you guys, man. You got to stop thinking like Elizabeth Warren and start thinking like Michael Saylor. And you guys will become super, super wealthy, and you don't have anything that's holding you back, right? Like if I want to leave here in a week, right? I sell my house for cash. I sell it cheap. I just break even on it because I bought it foreclosed and put all the money into it so I can afford to do that. Just cut my loss and I'm gone. I'm out of the country with all of my wealth. They can't debank me. They can't cut me off. They tried to debank us from PayPal last week. So anybody that bought our documentary and paid with PayPal, you've been refunded, except for one person. We have to wait for all the fees to come back to refund that last person. But everybody's been refunded, and PayPal canceled us. So they froze our accounts. They will not be releasing the funds. Screw PayPal, F PayPal, get your money off PayPal. And this is why we Bitcoin, folks. We Bitcoin because there is no intermediary. There's no CEO. There's nobody at Bitcoin that's going to go, oh yeah, we're going to listen to this court order by whoever, and we're not going to process your Bitcoin. No, I'm going to send you Bitcoin to whoever I want, wherever I want, whenever I want. And there's not a gosh damn person that's going to tell me otherwise or stop me from doing so. That is why we Bitcoin. All these problems that we have in this world, everything that has to do with the Trump trial, right? None of this would be happening because there wouldn't be any funding for it, because we would never allow it to happen. But because they can print money out of thin air, here we are, folks. Here we are. Check this out. Kara Castanova is down at the MAGA rally, and she caught this interview with some NYC kids chanting MAGA forever, MAGA fever. It was pretty freaking surreal to hear city kids from the Bronx shouting, "Make America Great Again, Trump 2024, and threatening Joe Biden with widgies, whatever that is, wedgies.
I've been a Trump supporter since I watched Home Alone, and I seen him in the hotel lobby. In the hotel? I was a big fan.
How old were you when you saw Home Alone?
I was like 8, and I was Home Alone.
Thank you so much. Trump is here in the Bronx because he wants to talk to you guys, the young kids.
I'm down. Is he going to give me my... Yeah, he's going to talk to him, definitely, yeah.
How about you? Are you excited to see President Trump?
Kinda.
So you have an open mind.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. So are you here with an open mind to hear President Trump's message?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I'm here to listen. I mean, I'm not eligible to vote, but for future references, I'm just looking around to see, you know, what I should choose for the future.
There's okay. A lot of people here. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people here.
And a lot of young kids like you. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Okay. What did you think about Trump?
He's a cool dude. I like him.
He's a cool dude?
Yeah.
We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump!
Let's get it! My boy took it for Trump!
Listen, you come to a truck, by the way, the kids are safe, they won't get kidnapped.
That's
they're
right.
Gonna be okay, parents.
You guys having fun, young people? Are we having fun?
We're learning. We're having fun, we're learning.
Yes! Yes! Let's go! Yes!
Let me tell you what we're learning. We know that Joe Biden's a lazy-ass bomber. We just got out of
We made America great again, folks. You just woke a whole younger generation of patriots who just, you know, they hate the machine, and nothing America hates more than watching the little man get railroaded by the government and the full weight of the entire government, every corrupt government agency from the DOJ to the SEC, to the FBI, to the CIA. They're all coming after Trump, and Trump's just sitting there taking bullet after bullet after bullet for you, for me, for the future of this country. And he's the only man that can unite us and drive this country and return us back to sanity. And I can't wait for it. You know what? I can't wait for these documents to get released, folks. They're talking about, Trump's talked about having a, what did he call it yesterday? On Tim Pool, it's called the Disclosure Committee. So this Disclosure Committee is going to go through every single classified document and determine, how do we release these? What do we have to redact from this? Whose names do we have to cut out of this? To release all of it, all of it, all of the information. So you know what I'm dying to see information on is the Oklahoma City bombing, folks. So this was the big sizzler for today. So smash that like button. We probably got about 1,100 people in here. If you guys could just make us pump that like button really quick. You guys are going to enjoy this one, I promise. Save the best for last. So Timothy McVeigh and the Oklahoma City bombing. The more things change, the more things stay the same. And this is by Epstein Sheets. And he goes by at mean tweeting one over on X. Check out this clip.
Are you the Oklahoma City bomber?
Maybe one of the benefits of me talking to you today is that you'll see that maybe not everything is true that you've heard about me.
On the morning of April 19th, 1995, a decorated Gulf War combat vet blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City using a truck bomb that he didn't build and a Ryder truck that he didn't rent with the help of a passenger who didn't exist. Having just gotten away with the largest act of terrorism on U.S. soil to date, the Fort Bragg-trained Special Forces Sheep Drip dropout blended in with the crowd by making his getaway in a car without a license plate and was immediately pulled over. The ATF was the supposed target of the attack, but luckily all of their agents were out of the office that morning. Later that day, the president boldly declared,
"We will find the people who did this."
And
when we do, justice will be swift, certain, and severe.
Except for
John Doe number two.
John Doe number two.
John Doe number two.
Who, according to the FBI, never existed. In McVeigh's unprecedented 3.5-week trial, the prosecution didn't show the CCTV footage of him and John Doe number two parking the Ryder truck. Didn't explain why 24 separate witnesses mass hallucinated the existence of John Doe number two. Didn't explain why the government was testing truck bombs and the army was storing Ryder trucks at Camp Gruber right before the bombing, and didn't talk to the FBI informants who blew the whistle on the plot. But they did collaborate with the CIA, and they did convict McVeigh as the lone wolf bomber and Terry Nichols as his bomb-constructing accomplice. Still, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists, including 300 bombing victims, insist on talking about facts and evidence and refuse to simply believe what they've been told a million times by people in tailored suits with well-coiffed hair. They quote the U.S. Army Brigadier General and the FBI Crime Lab whistleblower and the inventor of the neutron bomb who point out the physical impossibility that the Ryder truck bomb did the damage to the building, but that doesn't matter because if there were other bombs in the building that day, we would have heard about them.
The second explosive was found and defused.
I think he said another bomb.
The Justice Department is reporting that a second explosive device has been found.
They then found a third device, which was also larger than the first.
And I see another bomb truck going, so apparently they're going to try to get out that third bomb.
The FBI claims to have lost the footage showing McVeigh and John Doe No. 2 parking the truck in front of the Murrah building that morning, but that's understandable because the Bureau has a lot of important evidence to store. Terry Nichols insists the FBI was involved in the plot, but thankfully a judge has saved us the trouble of listening to him by preventing lawyers from deposing him. There was a bomb squad truck parked across the street 2 hours before the blast, but that just shows the authorities were prepared for anything. And
other documents obtained by 2020 show that someone called the executive secretariat's office at the Justice Department in Washington and said the Murrah building had been bombed. But this was 24 minutes before the blast.
But that just shows the public was unusually vigilant that morning. Also,
apparently, before the bombing, Governor Frank Keating's brother, Mark, had been working on a novel about a terrorist bombing in Oklahoma City. Stranger still, one of the characters in the novel was named Thomas McVeigh.
But that's probably just a coincidence. McVeigh wrote a letter to his sister where he admitted to being a secret special forces operative and he complained to friends of the pain in his ass from an army-implanted microchip, but that's crazy because if he didn't actually leave the army in 1991, there would be proof of that. McVeigh was not executed on May 16, 2001 as scheduled because
the FBI had failed to turn over thousands of pages of evidence to McVeigh's defense attorneys.
But the execution went ahead on June 11th. In a highly unusual and secret agreement, no autopsy was performed. One witness said he was still breathing, and the prison officials admitted his hearse was a decoy. Then, the case was officially closed. And if you question any part of this story, you are a paranoid wingnut birther truther tenther prepper conspiracy loon who'd bring up any of these points ever again. Ever. This message has been brought to you by the friends of the FBI, ATF, DOJ, CIA, SPLC, MSN, and the U.S. Army. And remember, ignorance is strength.
That's so good. Is that not true, folks? Like, how many more? Maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday. So I might put together a special show for you guys on Friday because we're headed down to Texas to film with Hernando Arce. We're going to be taking you guys on the next wing of our journey to film our documentary. Our documentary is called What is Treason? So get ready for another wild week next week. We're going to be breaking some of the biggest stories over here on LFA TV come Monday. We got sit-down interviews with Doc Chambers, Hernando Arce, Taylor from RGV Truth, and many more. A couple of confidential human sources might be coming down to meet up with us as well. So stay tuned, folks. We're going to be bringing some heat on Monday. So if you guys are new to over here on LFA, please smash that like button. We got shows that go all day over here on LFA TV. Up next will be the NFSC, followed by the Pete Santilli, followed by Sean Farish, followed by, Will Johnson, then Drew Hernandez. We got a stocked lineup of shows, folks, all the way till 9 p.m. We start at 9 a.m. with Jeremy Harrell and Rise Up, followed by the legendary Mike Crispy. So if you did not enjoy this show, I promise you there is a show over here on LFA TV that you will enjoy. So please consider smashing that like button. Do I got time for one more? Maybe we got time for one more. Let's throw this one out here. Yeah, check this one out. This is a little bit more of some motivation for Trump by MJ Truth Ultra. Check this one out.
So I'll take all my raise up my drink to the ones that give you all for the U.S. of A. Say a vow for the families. Lord, give them strength. There's a folded flag in a frame. And I just want to say thanks on Memorial Day.
That's our president, Pokes. And big shout out to Patty Vest again. Thank you. She says, for your good work, Ryan. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. Each and every one of you guys for smashing that like button on your way into the show today. We got almost 1,300 watching. How many likes did we get? Did we break any records? Did we get close? 345. We're getting up there, folks. We're getting up there. One of these days, we are going to break that 400 like button record. One of these days. Sherry, I see you over in the live chat. Great to see everybody. Hopefully you guys have a fantastic Wednesday. God bless each and every one of you guys. We'll be here same place, same time tomorrow. Smash that like button on your way out the door, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
Run.